Clare Means Business, a Clare FM exclusive podcast with Josh Prenderville.
Hello and you're very welcome to Clare Means Business. It's our first October edition of the podcast, and my word, we won't see it go by, will we? Just 10 or so editions left in 2022. Incredible to think about it. We have a treat for you this week because we have two Clare businesses speaking to us, both with very exciting stories to tell. Later we'll hear from a Shannon-based recruitment company that's decided to rebrand and change its name as it prepares to try and conquer international markets. Firstly though, we're all still on a high here really in Clare from the great success of the Women's Irish Open golf tournament held in Dromoland last month. That weekend also gave the chance to a number of businesses from the county to showcase themselves to visitors and to potential customers, of course, at various stalls. One of those was the Belharbour-based Hazel Mountain Chocolate, who are one of the fastest-growing chocolate producers in Ireland. Delighted to say Casha Connolly, who's business owner and creative director, is with me now. Thanks for your time, Casha. Tell us firstly then about Dromoland. It must have been a great opportunity for you to showcase what you guys have to offer.
Hi, thank you for having me. Yeah, it was amazing. It was obviously something different to what we normally do, because we do have our factory and shop and cafe in the Burren, but we also have a shop in Galway. So as I said, yeah, it was different, but it was fantastic to be there because we've actually met so many customers of ours, and we met a lot of new people who never made it to us, but they've heard of us. So it was a lovely buzz, and obviously the Women's Irish Open was just an amazing event with a lot of visitors from abroad. So it was a really, really good mix of different people and different different dynamics. It was really great to be there, to be part of it.
And what sort of mix does your custom have in terms of those visitors from abroad that you mentioned, and obviously your local custom here in County Clare, or be it County Galway as well? Do you have quite a bit of interest from overseas in the product?
Oh, we do. A lot of our customers from abroad, they come because we're in different guides. So they make a point of, you know, adjusting their kind of their route so that they're passing. And then we have a really good mix of Irish people that come to us, and Ennis, Galway, Limerick, and all around from County Clare. We have a really, really solid base of people who make a point to come to us for even for a cup of coffee and a cake. So we do a lot of online business with overseas. So even now with Christmas, we would get a lot of orders or a lot of people inquiring when they can expect Christmas stock to be up online. So yeah, it'd be mainly the States. We get a lot of customers from Canada as well, and obviously from Europe as well.
I can't believe we're mentioning the C word already, but I'll keep going ahead with it. That must be something that you guys have to have, I guess, planned quite a bit in advance, because I would imagine that's pretty much your busiest time of the year customs wise, is it? Could you tell me a bit about the preparation and the amount of time before December that you guys have to spend in preparing for it?
Yeah, we actually, believe it or not, we start really early. So we start in around July. And there is a lot of products this year that we're launching that are brand new. There was a lot of work we had to put in into developing the product, tasting it, the fun part, and then developing the packaging. And all those three elements, they really do take a lot of time. So we decided we really wanted to be ahead of time. And we are really happy to know that all the packaging and the product is all in place at the moment, and we're really ready for Christmas, because we've had a couple of Christmas. We opened in 2014. So we went through 8 years of Christmas, and we've learned our lesson that if we want to develop a new product, we really have to start early. So we're really excited. We have, and I'm not going to tell you what it is just yet, because okay, it is early.
But that was my next question.
I won't reveal everything, but we have one exceptionally good product that we've developed, and it's probably our best yet creation so far, or at least as far as I can remember. So we can't wait to launch that, and I'm sure we'll do a little maybe a little giveaway, just that people can taste how amazing that chocolate creation is. But we also have a new hot chocolate coming. And we have some vegan chocolate creations made directly from cocoa bean here in County Clare as well. So that's very, very exciting. And that's something that that's our first vegan creation, that's in the form of a chocolate bar.
And while you can't go into specifics, as you say, you mentioned some of the products there, it's not just generic chocolate bars, if you like. You're always kind of branching out, trying new things. You mentioned the vegan range there. I know you've gluten-free ranges as well, and things like that. And you've been in business since 2014. How important is it, I suppose, after those 8 years, to continue reinventing yourself and reinventing your products, and maybe not resting on your laurels or the products that you have, but to keep looking at the market and responding to those needs?
Oh, it's very important. And I think it's as important for the customers, for the brand, for Hazel Mountain Chocolate, but also for ourselves as well. So, I don't think it would be even in our personality to, you know, to continue on with the same product over and over and over. It wouldn't be in our nature. So we're very creative creatures over here. But I suppose what's really important to say is that we process cacao beans on site, and that's only 2% of all the chocolatiers across the globe process cacao beans. So what the industry norm would be to buy chocolate made in a big factory and remelt it, and we actually buy the cocoa beans. We do the whole process ourselves, and then we melt our own chocolate. So I think even trying to source different cacao beans that we haven't used before, that's a big part of our creative process as well. And there's so many places we'd love to still source cocoa beans from and make chocolate. I don't think we'll stop creating new products anytime soon. And I think it's very important as well for the customer to, because we do have a very solid customer base where we have repeated customers, and I think it's really good for them to be on board with that kind of creative journey of ours.
And I know you guys use local producers and local farmers when it comes to your milk and using milk in your products as well. Can I ask a bit about the experience side of things? Because I know you guys offer a tour, and you mentioned, I suppose, a little bit about how you guys get everything together and how it's so unique. I've just noticed, speaking to a number of different food and drink businesses over the last couple of years, that experience side of things, giving people the opportunity to have a look at how things are done, it's becoming a really popular side of the business. Has it been quite successful for you guys as well?
Very, very. And I think it's because there is a big a food revolution happening across Europe, but also in Ireland. And I think we're starting to link the producer to the product that we're eating. It's almost like we instinctively now look at the back of the package and we want to know, where was it made? Who is this by? And I think that generic product, we're moving away from that a little bit, and we're kind of getting, I think, a bit more trust into the local producers. And I think showing the customers and showing our customers how we make a product is very important, because we all want to support each other, and I think that's a big part of that.
What about the where you are, the geographic location, the Burren brand, if you like? Spoken to businesses quite near you, actually, the likes of, I know you've partnered with some of them, the likes of the Burren Perfumery, for example. We've spoken with Burren Ecotourism in the past. That full Burren brand, if you like, that incorporates quite a number of businesses in North Clare and that Galway border. It seems to be quite the ecosystem in that, you know, I guess businesses are almost feeding off each other's success in some ways.
That is so true. And I think we're so happy to see that kind of food scene in the Burren being so active. So we would get now a lot of people who come to the Burren because they would have heard of the Burren as an attraction for hiking, but they've also heard about it just through the food scene. So it's definitely getting a good pin on the map at the moment. And it's so amazing, as you say, that people do feed off of each other, and that we're able to build that really solid network of food producers. And I think the fact that you can come in and you can see the product being made is just that part of the experience that we all feel quite linked to at this stage.
And just lastly, Kasia, is it full steam ahead now for the next month or two in terms of that Christmas period? Have you anything coming up? Like, is Halloween a busy time for you, or is it very much looking ahead to December now?
Halloween is getting very busy for us. So as we speak, and I'm not joking, I'm looking at a beautiful packet of hot chocolate Halloween skulls filled with marshmallows. They can drop into your hot milk and they melt into this delicious hot chocolate. So we're definitely getting quite busy for Halloween for sure. But Christmas, as I said, the preparation is the key for us. And we get a lot of repeated business from other wholesale accounts that are looking for all the news and information really early. So we'll be posting all our new products starting now on our social media. And I think what we've just... like a big milestone for us and for myself is our new cookbook that just got published in August. And at the Women's Irish Open, we actually got so many people that came because they've heard through social media that we are in Tremoland, and they came with their own book for me to sign it. So that was really, really nice. And it was great to connect with all those people that, you know, they made such a big effort to make sure that they came to the stand and they got their book signed. So that's great. And what's very special about the book is also that it's got every recipe has a gluten-free option. So it doesn't exclude anyone from enjoying a piece of cake.
Sounds great. And do check out that cookbook and do check out the guys online and their social media, as Kasia says, Hazel Mountain Chocolate. You can find everything there, and you never know, you might find a stocking filler for someone for Christmas as well. Best of luck with everything over the next couple of months, Kasia. We might
thanks
be speaking
so
again at some stage. Thanks very much for speaking with us on Clare Means Business.
Lovely. Thanks so much. Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Hungry now after that one, I must say, but great to hear of the real spin-off benefits of the Women's Irish Open, which we know, of course, will be back next year as well. So a huge boost to businesses like Hales and Mountain Chocolate and many others. Now, you might remember quite a while back on the podcast, we spoke with Shannon-based recruitment company Get the Shifts when they were acquired by FRS Recruitment. Well, now they're taking another step in their journey as they've changed their name to Workwork in the context of their expansion to international markets. Glad to say Hannah Rickson, who's CEO of what's now known as Workwork, is with us. Thanks for your time, Hannah. I guess we spoke about your business model the last time, but tell us about the work and the thinking behind the name change and the rebrand firstly.
Of course. Hi, Josh. Thank you so much for having us on. I suppose a lot of thinking went into this rebrand, a lot of research, surveys, feedback, speaking to our clients, speaking to our superstars as they once were. And really, we spent an awful lot of time looking to how we could improve what we already had. So what we had was an app that joined people who were looking for work with people who needed people to work, realistically. And I suppose what this is that plus so much more. So we have really, really focused in on the features, and we believe now that we have a product that is easily scalable and that can translate into other markets.
In terms of the name, Workwork, I mean, you mentioned there lots of market research which goes into every rebrand and every renaming, but what made you settle on that? And even the naming of it, leaving out the O's, etc. You know, I suppose it seems like something that could be so small, but I'd imagine there was quite an amount of thinking that went behind it, was there?
There sure was. And there was so many different options that we went around the table with, including Get the Shifts and keeping Get the Shifts. But eventually we landed on, look, Get the Shifts is great in the Irish market. It's so tongue-in-cheek. It gets people thinking and talking, and it's a bit funny and kind of where we land. But in order to have international expansion, we definitely needed something that would translate a little bit better. And then the Work name itself, we were playing around, and as you do, you know, hey, I don't want to go to work, but I got to go to work. And it was kind of like, oh, hold on. Ding. And there was that kind of light bulb moment. And I think, you know, we all just loved it. And, you know, like, I think it's kind of, you know, it can be translated into so many different things. And our demographic is students. So that's who we would have the largest amount of working with us. And it just made sense to be a bit quirky and a bit cool and a bit creative with the name then. You know, it just takes all the hard work out of shift work, really. And that's what we wanted to do.
And when you speak about international markets, and I know you're planning that move early 2023 and beyond, are you talking the UK, further afield in Europe, further afield again to the US, all of the above? Where are you looking at in particular?
Like, this is a service that will translate into any markets, basically. So yeah, of course, we're looking at the UK as our first market. Europe, then, you know, the States is obviously a really good option for us. There are a couple of services and products like ours that exist already, but I do think that we have a unique feature set, and that would differentiate us and make us stand out. So I think the world is our oyster, really, at the moment. You know, like the brand has been launched now for 6 days, I suppose, or 7 or 8 days at this point. But like the feedback that we've gotten, the amount of shares, likes, contacts, people signing up in the week or the few days, it's just been huge. So there's a really good appetite for this, and it's as I say, it's a very scalable model, and it is very easily translated into other industries and other markets.
And that word translation, I suppose, is integral to when you begin trying to spread your wings across different international markets, because as you kind of touched on at the start, it's not necessarily literal translation just from, say, English to Spanish or to French or Italian or whatever it might be. But it's translation of those phrases. For example, as you say, Get the Shifts means something very different maybe here than it might in other countries, with that tongue-in-cheek kind of mantra about it. So that language is very, very important in terms of a rebrand and getting that presence in a market elsewhere, isn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely. But like, the vision that we have for this company is to take it so that, like, it actually becomes ingrained in someone's journey to adulthood. So that, you know, when they are my age, which is ancient, you know, in your 40s, and you're sitting around and you're saying, oh my God, what did you work at? And what did you do when you're in college? And what did you do this? And oh my God, I worked at Work. Where did you work? I did this event and this event. No way, I was there. So it becomes this kind of societal nostalgic piece. That's what we want. That's where we want to get to. So, you know, it needs to be easy. It needs to just resonate. And that's where we landed. So.
And how have things been, I suppose, the fact that we're talking now about a rebrand and branching off into international markets maybe answers my next question. But since we last spoke and the acquisition by FRS, seems like things have been going from strength to strength since then, have they?
Oh, absolutely. You know, we were very fortunate with our partners in FRS. You know, there's a great culture fit. We're all so committed to making this work. And obviously, you know, to go from startup mindset to a company that's supported by a parent, a large parent incumbent, it's huge, you know, and their knowledge and skills, network, you know, all of that has really, really added to the success of this service.
Is the challenging environment for businesses, not just in Ireland, but some of those markets that we've mentioned earlier, a concern going forward? Because I guess, and I know from when we last spoke, You mentioned to me a lot of your clientele and your business does revolve around things like the hospitality sector, for example, and we know that they're facing so many challenges now, obviously coming out of COVID, and now there are huge concerns with energy bills and that kind of thing. Does that feed into, I guess, your thinking when you're looking to expand, and do you have to be cognizant of that in terms of your own model and what you're looking for?
Of course. And, you know, like, I think to be aware of what's going on and what's coming down the line is just good business sense. So, you know, you do your pest analysis and you keep an eye on what's going on, you know, externally as well as internally. But I do think our solution is set up to help people to mitigate against those problems as well. So, you know, our solution is set up so that people can have a workforce that can expand and contract as they need it. And as things get tricky, and, you know, particularly in the hospitality industry where it is seasonal, to have staff that you actually haven't contracted in, and, you know, that could be quite, you know, contentious, but it's to offer people the flexibility of work when and where they need it and when and where they want it, which means that people can work around their studies, around their families, around other jobs. But it's also to offer clients that flexibility to have that flexible workforce as and when they need it.
And does that model, and I know you would have encountered this maybe in your market research when looking, you know, at what markets you're going to target, but I would imagine that very idea, your mission statement, so to speak, will work very differently in certain working cultures and certain areas of the world than others.
Absolutely. But I do think that we always need to stay focused on who is our demographic, and our key demographic for this model is students. So it is to help them to earn as they learn. That's our key. That's our key driver, and to be an advocate for our work stars, as they're now called, you know, to make sure working conditions are great, to make sure they're being paid well and treated well. And, you know, those kind of opportunities don't exist outside our company, you know. So, you know, to avoid the roster, to be able to say, actually, I'm not going to work for the next 2 weeks because I've got exams coming up and I need to get my head down because I haven't done anything, only party like a lunatic for the last 8 months. You know, that's the kind of stuff that's where they can say, look, I'm not interested in taking work at the moment. But you know what, I'll come back to you. Or what we are hoping when we do have an international expansion, that our students can leave Ireland and go to Spain and take up shifts there, or they can go to the US and take up shifts there. So it's a model that will travel with them.
Very exciting times, and fingers crossed everything goes well. I'm sure we'll be checking in with you again soon. That's Hannah Rickson, CEO of Shannon-based recruitment company, formerly Get the Shifts, now Work. Very best of luck with everything, as I say, and thanks very much for speaking with us on Clare Means Business.
Thanks, Josh.
Great to hear of a Clare-based business that's really gone from strength to strength. Firstly, having been bought and backed in a seven-figure deal, and then sometime later, after making a success of that, branching out or intending to branch out to markets across the world. It really is some story, and congrats to them. Unfortunately, though, that's where time's beaten us for this week's edition of Clare Means Business. Thanks very much for your ears in the last 20 minutes or so. I think it's been really refreshing, to be honest, to hear of two real entrepreneurs, real success stories in this county, and long may they continue. For now though, stay safe, and we'll chat to you again next Friday.
You've been listening to an exclusive Clare FM podcast presented by Josh Prendeville. Log on each week to hear Clare Means Business.